I thank God for His mercy and His love, for His Holy Spirit, for all that He has done for you, what He's done for me in my life, for His salvation. I'm very grateful for His Holy Spirit that communicates His will to us. I have had a prayer request of my own for several years that I hold before the Lord. And I'm going to ask you to join in that request with me, and when you think about it, to pray. I ask the Lord, Lord, what will it take for all of your children to be able to be united? What will it take? I understand, as Brother Marty spoke earlier, the concept of God's people scattered all over this world being in one body. But I wonder, what would it take for them all to be willing to come together under one roof, if you will? How would that be? The glory of God that would come down because of the experiences and the testimonies and the broad spectrum of life and the deliverances that would be there, and the power of God that would be manifested for what He has done to deliver and save and to carry through persecutions. I wonder, Father, what will it take for all of your children to be gathered together? I don't know. But I wonder if we're not coming to a place where the pressures of the evil one are working so much against that there is a pruning and a purging, and that there is a sifting and a shaking, to where those things that can be removed, can be shaken and not remain, will fall aside. And those things that are true, those of His children who maintain their relationship and their hold on God, come what may, no matter what, as we just heard, it can stand the test of time. Amen. That God's children all over this world, I feel more and more in my spirit. I feel when I hear of the things happening in the foreign lands, in the Middle East, those who are run out of their homes, run out of their churches, told you must accept another religion or you'll be killed. And I hear the reports where they're unwilling to recant. Yeah. It humbles me because I don't face that. And I say, Lord, will you help me? Well, can I be one with them? And if my time comes, Lord, give me the grace and the courage to be willing to be one with them. May I say this to you this evening? It might not come in that form, but it might likely come in another form that we could face in our time. May God help us to have the courage and the determination to stand for God in the face of all opposition around us, because there is one, only one, that will stand the test of time. Desire your prayers this evening. I'd like to turn to the book of John, 21st chapter. Read a passage here. The Lord having a little visit with the apostle Peter. Peter was a man that was a very impulsive individual. It appears from the accounts in the Scriptures that he didn't always think before he said. I believe he spoke from his heart, but he didn't always think about what was going to come out of his mouth. I think we do well sometimes to have a filter between the thoughts and the words. If we always say what we think, it's easy to hurt someone by just saying what you think. But if you spend a little time filtering it, usually it comes out and comes away much, much better. But in this passage in John 21, the Lord was speaking with Peter. This was after they had gone fishing and caught nothing. Familiar scene, I believe, in Peter's mind, where fished all night, didn't catch a thing. The Lord said, cast your net on the other side. You ever heard of deja vu? I kind of figure that that's about what it felt like to Peter whenever he realized what was going on. The Scripture says that for whatever reason, I guess Peter didn't recognize it being the Lord. And John, well, it says the one that the Lord loved, said, it's the Lord. And it shocked Peter. He jumped overboard because he was a little bit embarrassed and ashamed of his situation. But the Lord, in His love and His mercy and His reaching out to Peter, had a conversation with him. So He said these words. 15th verse of John 21. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Now I want to back up just a little bit in the book of Matthew, chapter 26. Read a passage here. 26, 33. The Lord had spoken to the disciples about what they could expect, what was about to take place. So here's what Peter said. Verse 33 of Matthew 26. Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet I will not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Mark said it this way. Peter said unto him, Although all shall be offended, yet will not I. Jesus saith unto him, Verily I say unto thee that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently. Mark uses the word vehemently. Peter said, If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. In Luke 22, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee. And when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. He said, I tell you, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. It wasn't any news to Peter what was going to happen. But in his heart, in his mind, in his spirit, he said, it's not going to be that way. It won't happen. I have a hold on you, Lord. I see you. The question was asked, who do men say that I am? Well, some say this, some say that, some say another. Who do you say I am? Well, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Lord said, Peter, blessed are you, because flesh and blood hasn't revealed that to you, but my Father has revealed that to you. The Lord gave Peter a different name, remember? Cephas, rock. Peter, rock. But it's rather interesting that when the Lord comes to talk to Peter after the denial, he says, Simon. Simon. He didn't use the name Peter. Peter had followed through with what the Lord said would happen. The Scripture tells us that he went out and wept bitterly. He wept bitterly over that. He felt the pain. He felt the sting of it. Perhaps the most painful sting of it was when the Lord turned and looked him in the eye. How could we stand up under that kind of a pressure? I don't know how I would. But the Lord said, Peter, remember this, Peter. I've prayed for you that your faith fail not. I've prayed for you. Now, I want us to look a little bit at this passage again in John and notice some specifics. Jesus asked the question of Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? I don't know what the these were. I don't know if it was the boat, if it was the nets, the fish, the disciples. I don't know what all that was. It doesn't really tell us. But I just wonder if he wasn't saying, do you love me more than these disciples? Because you did say, though all men should forsake you, I won't. So do you love me? Think of the words of the Master, the questions. Do you love me more than these? Peter said, Lord, you know I love you. In two of these questions that the Lord put to Peter, our word that we have in our English language, translated love, is in the original Greek was agape. Agape. That term agape seems to mean a deep, ardent, supreme love. A love that is more than just surface. When Peter responded to the Lord in answer to the question, the Lord asked him, Peter, do you agape me? Peter's response was, now we have translated into our English language the same word love. But Peter's response was, Lord, I philios you. He couldn't bring himself to say agape. The term philios seems to indicate like a close friendship or a brotherly love, not as deep or as strong as the agape love. And throughout the Scriptures, as we look, if you take the time to look in an exhaustive commentary, the concordance rather, Strong's, or you search it out in your electronic device, whatever, you can find that throughout the New Testament, the term agape love is used well over 100 times. But the term philios love is maybe 25, 6 times it's used that way. The term agape love, when we read the Scripture in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave. The word God so loved in that passage is agape. The agape love seems to be like a self-sacrificing love, where He was willing, God was willing to sacrifice, to give everything He could. Jesus was willing to give Himself, sacrifice Himself for mankind. Jesus had that type of a love. Peter said, I will not deny you, Lord. I will sacrifice myself for you. But when it came down, when the rubber met the road, Peter was not able to follow through with that. For whatever reason, several reasons most likely, because still they hadn't had the Holy Spirit. He hadn't seen everything that could take place yet. He didn't know how it was all going to play out. These men still had some misunderstandings and misgivings about what the kingdom of God was going to be. They still, you remember that we had in this meeting, the two came to the Lord and said, "Grant, we have a request of you. We have a request." "Well, what is your request?" "Would you grant, please, that we could have James and John, one of us sit on your right and the other on your left in your kingdom?" Jesus said, "Well, that's not mine to give." But he asked him some questions. He said, "Are you able to drink the cup that I drink? Are you able to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" Do you remember what they said? "We are able." Do you think they understood? I say not likely. We are able. And the proof spells it out, because Jesus said to them, "This night, you'll be scattered. You'll be scattered." He said, "And I'll be alone. But I'm not alone, because my Father is with me." The Lord had a love, a self-sacrificing love, a willingness to completely give of Himself all that He possibly could. The agape love, the deep love, an ardent love, a willingness to do the will of the Father that brought salvation to all of humanity. The opportunity for it. He gave of Himself. The word philios is also translated kiss in the Scriptures. The term, when Jesus asked the question of Judas, "Do you betray me with a kiss?" That word is philios. The same word that is translated love that Peter used in saying, "Lord, you know I love you." So Peter, the Lord asked Peter the second time, "Peter, do you love me more than these?" Again, I can see Peter squirming. "Lord, you know I love you." And what's really interesting is, the third time that Jesus asked Peter the question, "Simon," the second time he said, not "do you love me more than these," he said, "do you love me?" He didn't leave off the more, he left off the "more than these." The third time the Lord asked Peter the question, he says, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" That question used the term philios. Peter, is that the level of love you have for me? Peter was one that was having a hard time reconciling himself to what he had done. He had betrayed the Lord. He denied Him three times. And the Lord three times asked him the question, "Do you love me? Do you love me?" I found it interesting what Adam Clark had to say in his comment. It says, it's like this. Peter replies using that term, philios, which signifies to love, like, regard, feel friendship for another. It's as if our Lord had said, "Peter, do you love me ardently and supremely?" To which Peter replies, "Lord, I feel an affection for you. I do esteem you, but I dare at present say no more." Do you know why? "Lord, though all men should forsake you, I never will." When he reached this point, Peter was not willing to go to that extreme again. He said, "Lord, I do love you. But I'm a little bit hesitant to say anymore because I know what just happened. I know what just happened. I know what I did. And what's amazing to me, and I thank God for the love and the mercy that He showed to this man, Peter. Because he started out, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Lord, you know I love you. Feed my lambs. Simon, do you love me? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I do love you. Feed my sheep. Simon, do you love me? This is the third time. Simon, do you love me? Do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And again he told him, feed my sheep. The Lord didn't come down with a hammer on top of Peter. He took that man and caused there to be a change in his life. He used the power that God had in a self-sacrificing love, reached to this man Peter, the one that denied him three times, the one that fled, the one that ran, the one that the Scripture says cursed. That's what the Scripture says. Cursed. The Lord said, I've prayed for you, Peter, that your faith fail not. And the Lord took this occasion to, with Peter, to say to him, you denied me three times. I asked you the question three times. I've reaffirmed it three times. This is what I've asked you to do, Peter. Feed my sheep. And the Lord left it with him at that. I can almost imagine feeling like you want to break and run when the Lord comes up to ask you these kinds of questions after you've denied him three times. But the Lord reaffirmed his love to Peter, and he reestablished that with him. Now, in the book of Luke, where we have the story about, let's just turn and read it. Luke chapter 7. Verse 44. He turned to the woman and said, Sweet, seest thou this, unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet. But she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss. But this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. This word, loved, is that agape love. That's the word, that self-sacrificing love, willing to give whatever she had, whatever she could, because she loved the Lord. Can I tell you this evening, folks, the Lord is looking for you and me to have that agape type of love in His service and in His work. To be willing to go that extra mile in meeting out to others those blessings, those benefits, those gifts that God has given to you and me. He says in the Scriptures, freely ye have received, freely give. Be willing to impart. Be willing to share. Be willing to give of yourself. And sometimes, folks, you're going to find the place where you're giving until you feel like you have nothing more to give. Even the Lord said there were times whenever He felt like He needed to depart to a quiet place to pray. Don't we all? And we feel taxed at times over those kinds of things. And the Lord knows when we need to retreat and pray. But He wants you and me to have an agape love. To be willing to put out to those around us. I thank God for the mercy He showed to me. And His willingness to open a door, knock on the door, and invite, will you come in? Will you come in? He sacrificed for me. He sacrificed for you. We have so many opportunities around us. So many things that you and I can do to try to reach out to those who are in trouble. People in nursing homes, people in hospital beds, people who have trouble and struggle with issues of life. There's a little lady down home, and my heart goes out to this little woman. She's up in years, and I go visit her once in a while in a nursing home. She deals with mental illness. Paranoid schizophrenic. Chemical imbalance. Bipolar disorders. She struggles with things in life. She told me one day, I was in the room, and she has a big open window there by where the cars go by in front of her room. And she told me, Brother Michael, she said, I feel like sometimes those cars are going to just come crashing right through that window and hit in my room. She said, I know it's not so. But it feels that way. It feels that way. She was so distressed one time. I went to visit her. She was very distressed. She said, I try to read my Bible. One of the ministers that came by and talked to me told me that I had to read my Bible. It's God's Word. But when I try to read my Bible, I get confused. I get confused. I start trying to read and I don't understand. And I don't know what to do. And I called her name. Took her by the hand and I said, remember this. Before there ever was a Bible, there was God.
Yes.
Folks, there are people in this world right around our areas that are dealing with those kinds of things in life. And they're crippled. They don't know how. They have handicaps. And I've thanked God for the opportunity to have more exposure, to be able to have a little more understanding about the things that people deal with in their lives. She said, I know it's not real. I know they're not going to crash through that window. But it's the way it feels to me.
Yes.
It feels that way. She said, I know that Jesus died on the cross. I know that He was crucified. But when I think of that, it seems so cruel to me. And it's almost more than I can bear. She said to me, when I was a little girl, someone in my family died. And I was taken up to the casket. And it scared me so bad. Do you know, folks, every man has a story to tell? I have found that when I have my preconceived notions, my prejudices, if you will, about what situations are and what I think they should be, how they ought to work out and how it ought to all come together, I find that when you take the time to sit down and listen to somebody else's story and hear the things about what happens to them in their lives, I go away ashamed.
Yes.
Many's a time I've walked away ashamed and said, I didn't know that. I didn't understand. I thought that I had all of this pegged. I thought that I knew how this was all supposed to work until I find their story. And when they begin to share their story, this woman carried up to the casket, looked in the casket, seen a loved one who was a dear loved one to her. No response, cold, no life. It did something to her. It changed her through life.
Yes.
Now, I can't answer all the questions of why. She was so disturbed about that. And I tried to explain to her, if you saw me in a wheelchair with no legs, and you told me to run, I would have to say to you, I can't run. I don't have any legs. I said to her, you have a mental handicap. When you try to read your Bible, folks, I know it's God's Word. I know God's a big God. I know that God is able to make her be able to read His Word and it not be a problem to her. But you know what? It's not my business to try to make that all right. It's not my business to try to tell her you must read your Bible. That's not my business. It's my business to try to comfort her, point her to one that is greater than me, greater than, if you understand me, than the words printed on paper. Okay? Greater than the words printed on paper. I understand the value. But again, before there ever was a God, a Bible, there was God. How did Abraham understand? How did they all understand the things? How did they know the law didn't come till, what was it, 1,400 years or so before, 1,500 years before Christ? That the law was given? The Ten Commandments, the law. We think it was given immediately. That all mankind lived under the law. No, they did not. They didn't. They had faith.
Yes.
God gave faith. The Scripture says concerning Abraham, he believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Thank God that there can be a belief in God and it can be counted us as right. There are people in this world who do not have this book in their language. What about them? What are we going to say for them? Can they make it? Can they make it inside? They don't have a Bible? How can they make it without a Bible? They can't read the Bible? How can they have devotion to God without reading the Bibles? Folks, God is bigger than all of that. I thank God that He is. I thank God when He came to Peter, He said to Peter, Peter, do you love me? Do you have a self-sacrificing love? Do you love me ardently, supremely? Do you put me at the very top? Are you willing to do as I did and give? Give of yourself. Peter was somewhat reticent over that. And I understand why. I can understand why. Because he had flubbed really bad. But the Lord forgave him.
Yes, amen.
And the Lord used him.
Yes.
The Lord made opportunity.
Yes.
I want to encourage you this evening. Regardless of what you think your place in the body is, God has given you a gift. He's given you a place. He's given you something that you can do.
Yes.
He's given you the opportunity to reach out to a fellow man.
Yes.
We sing a little song, Brighten the Corner Where You Are.
Yes.
The script, that song says, do not wait until some deed of greatness you may do.
Yes.
Do not wait to shed your light afar.
No.
To the many duties ever near you, now be true. Brighten the corner where you are. We use that song. We've had family studies. And we use that song when we start our family studies because mothers sometimes can feel like, I am so confined, I'm so restricted that I can't work for the Lord. The most important work you can do is brighten the corner where you are.
That's right.
To the many duties ever near you. Be true. That's what the Lord wants us to do. Look, you don't have to look in foreign lands. You're not looking mission fields. There's a place for that. But the Lord has a work for every one of us to do near us. Near. Right next to us. Many times, putting a smile on a face. There's a song that says, give the world a smile each day. In 1 John... 4th chapter. Verse 7. John the Beloved. Here's what he says. Beloved, let us love one another. 1 John 4:7. Let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us. And sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. That whole passage, the word love, is agape. Self-sacrificing, ardent, supreme. Not just filial, not just I feel an affection for you, not just I enjoy being in your presence. It's not that. It is beyond that. It's deeper than that. And may God help us to get a hold of that. To understand that there is a difference in having... Say, I hear people say, I love the Lord. I'm happy for you. What love? Philios? Agape? Which love is it? Is it because I like the loaves and the fishes and I get some loaves and the fishes? Is it because I enjoy having when the cup spills over from other people who are rejoicing in the Lord, I get a little bit of the what's left over from the cup into the saucer? Is that the reason why? Or do I get my portion because I love the Lord with all my heart, soul, mind, strength? When I love the Lord with all of my heart, soul, mind, strength, then He helps me to be able to see the things around me and be able to be willing to reach out and do those things. That's a part of His work.
Yes, it is.
Romans 5. Romans 5, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. You see, this term that we read in the Scriptures where it says love, when it is translated the agape love, many times it is having a reference to a sacrifice being made. A self-sacrifice. This passage talks about Christ. When we were yet sinners,
yes.
When we were yet sinners, filthy,
yes.
Dirty, unworthy, He sacrificed, He agape loved you and me. Thank the Lord that He did that. May God help us to have that same kind of love for our fellow man. May the Lord help us to be able to reach out to them with that ardent love, a self-sacrificing love. Being willing sometimes to give up a little sleep. Being willing sometimes to give up a little pleasure. Being willing sometimes to give up a little leisure. Being willing sometimes to go and sit by the bedside of one who is really struggling. Being willing to go and hold their hand and have prayer with them. Not long ago, a lady called and said, I'd like to be anointed. I said, all right, we can do that. She came to service. I really wasn't expecting that. I asked her, after service was dismissed, would you like to be anointed now? She squirmed and wiggled a little bit. She said, I didn't want to embarrass you. Embarrass me. Embarrass me. God died so we could have benefit. God gave Himself so we could receive help from Him. Let's have prayer. And I thought, as I heard those words, embarrass me. I said, Lord, have I put forth an image that I would be embarrassed because You were anointed and prayed for in the chapel? Have I put forth that aura? God help me if I have. If I have put forth that aura, God help. If we as a body of people put forth that aura, God help us. Christ died for the ungodly. He died for those who couldn't help themselves, you and me. He was willing to self-sacrifice so they could be helped. He was willing to die for Peter. When Peter said, I will not deny You, Lord. I'll go with You all the way. I'll even die with You. I don't know Him. I never knew Him. I'm not one of them. Whatever words He said. And the rooster crowed. And the Lord looked at him. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Christ died for the one, Peter, who denied Him three times. He died for him. I thank God, folks, He died for you and me. He died for all mankind. May God help us to have that agape, fervent, ardent, self-sacrificing love towards our fellow man. Again, the Scriptures I've used, it says, freely ye have received, freely give. Amen.
Jesus' name.